A Contra podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again to take really powerful books and break them down into the essential knowledge you need.
Yeah, helping you get informed and hopefully ready to tackle whatever the week throws at you.
And today we are diving into some wisdom that was, well, forged under some pretty extreme pressure.
That's right. We're exploring Admiral William H. McRaven's incredible philosophy from his book, Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World.
Okay, let's unpack this premise a little, because honestly, it sounds almost too simple, doesn't it?
It does on the surface.
McRaven's core idea, his thesis, is that these small disciplined actions, if you do them consistently, they create the absolute foundation for, well, extraordinary achievement.
Exactly. It's this philosophy that starts with fixing something really tiny, you know, making your bed, in order to help fix everything else.
Right. And its relevance today. I mean, it feels undeniable, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We live in a world that's just full of noise, complexity, constant unexpected challenges.
Yeah.
And this book, it kind of cuts through all that chaos. It answers a really fundamental question for, well, for all of us, really. How can an ordinary person develop the resilience, the determination they need to navigate hardship?
Overwhelming hardship sometimes.
Overwhelming hardship, yeah, and still make a positive impact. And the answer, kind of ironically, is through rigor and structure. Simple structure.
And it's important to stress, we aren't talking about just any self-help author here who decided, you know, to write a book about habits.
No, definitely not.
This is Admiral William H. McRaven. And his credibility is, frankly, pretty much unmatched.
I mean, his career was 37 years in the U.S. Navy. He rose to become a four-star admiral, and he commanded the U.S. Special Operations Command, SOCOM.
Right, SOCOM. So that's the organization overseeing the most elite forces, the most sensitive missions in the entire U.S. military.
Which means he was operating at the absolute highest level of, you know, high-stakes execution.
Yeah, everyone knows the big one, the mission he oversaw back in 2011, the operation that resulted in the death of Osama bin Laden. That defines high operational excellence.
It really does. And his perspective is so distinctive because this advice, it isn't theoretical. It's not something he read in a book.
No.
It was forged, literally forged, in the crucible of Navy SEAL training, Buddy's basic underwater demolition SEAL training.
The infamous Buddy US course.
Exactly. Yeah. So he uniquely bridges that extreme military discipline, you know, the kind needed for life or death situations, with wisdom that's actually applicable, foundational for civilian life.
He proves that those principles of survival and ultimately success are pretty universal.
Yeah. And what's so brilliant about Make Your Bed is its dual nature, you could say.
How so?
Well, it's simultaneously a very practical, very concrete guide for like daily personal discipline.
Okay.
And it's a philosophical exploration of how that individual excellence actually translates into broader societal change.
Right. So individual discipline isn't just for you. It ripples outward.
Precisely. And the whole framework, it's built entirely around 10 principles that come straight out of that grueling six-month BUDS course.
Okay.
McRaven uses that intense training. I mean, it's designed specifically to break people down. Mm. He uses it as a kind of laboratory for understanding human potential, resilience, and ultimately character.
So the book systematically explores what you actually need to withstand that extreme pressure.
Yeah.
And it's not just discipline, right?
No, not at all. It's humility. It's teamwork. It's hope. It's dealing with just sheer unfairness sometimes.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Managing catastrophic failure, taking calculated risks, and maybe above all, the critical importance of just sheer perseverance, never quitting.
The goal isn't just to pump out successful individuals. It seems like it's about creating individuals of character who are actually equipped to solve some of the world's really tough challenges.
That's the core of it. And the philosophy, it always comes back to that foundation, making the bed.
Okay, so let's dive into these 10 principles. Maybe we can group them thematically.
Yeah.
Starting with what you call the foundation of discipline and momentum.
Sounds good. So this brings us to principle one. Start your day with a task completed, making the bed.
The bed making ritual. And it's got to be done to military specs, right? Like early.
5 UAM military specifications. But it serves this really powerful psychological purpose. It gives you an immediate small win, a sense of accomplishment right off the bat.
And that success, that little win, it creates positive momentum.
Exactly. It encourages you to tackle the next task and then the next one. It sets a standard for the day.
Okay, I get the momentum part. But you know, for people who might struggle with perfectionism, this focus on absolute order first thing, could that sound a bit paralyzing? Does he address that pressure?
He does, maybe implicitly, through principle three, which is only the size of your heart matters.
Oh, okay.
He tells this anecdote about the Munchkin crew, his boat crew in training. They were small, constantly underestimated, not the strongest, not the fastest, but they just refused to quit. So the lesson isn't really about perfection in the task itself. It's that mental toughness, that grit, that determination. That's what overcomes perceived limitations, physical or otherwise.
So start perfectly, yes, but the real focus is on effort and character, not just innate talent or getting it flawless every single time.
Precisely. It's about the will behind the action.
Okay, that's a powerful shift. So if success isn't just about natural talent, then it must be built through, well, overcoming adversity, which leads right into his ideas around resilience and accepting reality.
Exactly. You have to learn how to deal with the stuff you just can't control. And that's principle four. Life's not fair, drive on.
Drive on. I like that.
Yeah. And this is embodied by that infamous sugar cookie punishment. You heard of this.
Vaguely.
Remind me.
Trainees were often forced, sometimes for really minor infractions, sometimes seemingly for nothing.
Arbitrarily.
Yeah, arbitrarily. Forced to run into the surf, get soaked, and then roll around on the beach until they were completely covered in sand head to toe. Like a sugar cookie.
Wow. That sounds like just pointless cruelty.
Well, it's the ultimate reality check, isn't it? The training taught them that life frequently delivers undeserved hardships, things you didn't cause, things that aren't fair.
Right.
And McRaven's takeaway is complaining about it, whining about the unfairness, it just wastes the energy you absolutely need for the next obstacle.
So resilience is built by just accepting the setback, taking the hit and moving forward, maintaining your commitment despite the unfairness.
Exactly. Drive on. Accept it. Keep your standards. Move forward.
Okay. So if the sugar cookie is about unfairness, then principle five, failure can make you stronger. That sounds like it's about intentional training through failure. This is the circus, right?
Yeah. The circus. That was the name for the extra grueling physical training assigned to trainees who failed daily inspections or tasks. More push-ups, more running, more pain.
So punishment for failing.
It seemed like punishment. But McRaven noticed something interesting. The trainees who endured repeated failure, the ones who spent a lot of time at the circus, they paradoxically often developed superior mental toughness. They actually ended up outperforming some of the guys who succeeded easily early on.
So the failure itself, when they had to work through it, became a tool.
A necessary, grueling learning opportunity. It built essential capabilities, physical and mental, that the easy successes just didn't provide. Failure, processed correctly, isn't a penalty. It's training.
Okay, so if failure is training, what are we training for? McRaven seemed to say it's for those moments where you absolutely have to take a calculated risk, which brings us to courage and taking the leap.
Right. This leads into principle six. You must dare greatly.
Dare greatly.
He illustrates this with an obstacle called the slide for life. It was this high rope strung between two towers. Trainees could go down slowly, feet first, playing it safe.
Okay, the sensible way.
Or they could launch themselves head first, much faster, much riskier.
Head first, off a high rope.
Exactly. And he argues that taking that faster, riskier path, that was necessary for breakthrough performance. Playing it safe consistently, it just leads to mediocre results.
So meaningful accomplishment, whether it's in like business or just personal growth, it requires facing uncertainty, potential failure.
Requires calculated headfirst risks. You have to be willing to dare greatly.
And then there's the ultimate test of courage, maybe physical and moral. Principle seven, stand up to the bullies, which he illustrates with this, well, this bizarre image involving a shark.
Yeah, it's punching a circling shark on the snout during a long ocean swim training exercise.
Punching a shark? Seriously?
Well, the idea, the lesson, is that sharks, like bullies or tyrants or even toxic corporate cultures, they often circle, testing for weakness. They feed on inaction and fear.
Okay, it's a metaphor. A very visceral one.
Very. McRaven argues that courage is essential, not just for physical safety, but for maintaining your personal integrity. You have to find the strength to stand your ground and, metaphorically speaking, punch the shark on the snout when your values or your well-being are threatened.
Because if you retreat,
you to get
consumed. Retreating just empowers the bully or the negative force. You have to confront it. Okay, so individual courage gets you through the dark moments, the risky moments. But the next phase seems to be realizing you can't actually survive alone. Let's move to the collective and the power of hope.
Absolutely. That's principle two. You can't go it alone. This focuses on the 7-man boat crew and their IBS, the inflatable boat small. Those things are heavy, unwieldy.
I've seen pictures. They look brutal to carry.
They are. And paddling them requires perfect synchronization. If one person slacks off, everyone feels it immediately. The ultimate lesson is that individual excellence, while crucial, must be balanced with collective responsibility.
So if one person is weak, the others have to paddle harder to compensate.
Exactly. You need to find your boat crew, your support system in life, and commit fully to that team, carrying your weight and helping others carry theirs.
And that commitment to the team, that shared struggle, that's what allows hope to actually flourish, right? Which leads to principle 9, give people hope.
Yes, this comes from that unforgettable story from Hell Week. Trainees are freezing, standing in neck-deep mud flats, cold, miserable.
For hours, right?
Hours. Mm. Morale is absolutely non-existent. The instructors are circling, literally tempting them with hot coffee and blankets if they just quit.
Ugh, psychological warfare.
Totally. But then one trainee, completely spontaneously, just starts singing some goofy, cheerful song, off-key, probably exhausted.
Just starts singing in the mud.
Yeah. And that single, simple act, it provided this tiny spark, a spark of hope. It changed the entire dynamic, reminded the whole group that their spirit couldn't be broken, even if their bodies were freezing.
Wow.
So hope, in McRaven's view, it's not just some fuzzy emotion. It's a profound leadership competency. It's a force multiplier that strengthens the entire group.
Okay, finally, we get to what you call the ultimate test, principle 8. Be your very best in the darkest moments. The underwater ship attack simulation.
Yes. Imagine swimming for miles underwater in complete pitch darkness, navigating towards a target ship using only a compass in your training.
That sounds terrifying. Maximum pressure.
Absolute maximum pressure. It requires total calm, total focus. And McRaven's insight here is that we all possess this untapped potential, this deeper reserve of capability that only emerges when we face truly significant challenges.
But face them with meticulous preparation and composure.
Exactly. That darkest moment isn't the time to panic. It's the time you must be your absolute sharpest, your most focused self.
And that brings us to the final command, principle 10. Never, ever quit. The brass bell.
Ah, the bell. It hangs there in the BUDS compound, polished and visible. It symbolizes surrender. Any trainee at any time can walk up and ring it 3 times.
And that's it. They're out.
They're out, done, their journey ends there. So the refusal to ring that bell, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how much you want to, that refusal is the absolute foundation for all exceptional achievement.
So every other lesson, the discipline, the teamwork, the courage, the hope, it's all designed to get you to that point.
Yeah.
To help you not ring the bell.
Precisely. The ultimate psychological test, McRaven argues, is simply endurance. Will you see it through? Or will you surrender the moment things get truly overwhelmingly hard?
Wow. Okay, having gone through those 10 really profound lessons, let's zoom out again. What are the key themes, the main takeaways that really tie this whole philosophy together?
Well, I think the most important one, maybe the central one, is the idea that extraordinary outcomes result from mundane consistency.
Mundane consistency, not heroic bursts.
Exactly. The book really challenges the idea that we need some dramatic, complex shortcut to success. Instead, real transformation comes from those ordinary actions, like making your bed, but performed with exceptional, unwavering consistency day after day.
That connects perfectly to another idea you touched on. Adversity reveals. It doesn't build character.
Yes. The grueling training, the challenges in life, they don't magically create moral fiber or integrity out of nothing.
Right.
They reveal the integrity, the resolve, the character that was already there, maybe hidden, or they reveal its absence.
So deliberately seeking appropriate challenges, not shying away from difficulty, that actually accelerates self-discovery. It tests your moral courage.
It absolutely does. It shows you what you're made of.
And another key theme has to be the definition of courage as prioritizing the mission over self-preservation.
Right. Courage isn't about not being afraid. We all feel fear.
Of course.
It's the disciplined act of acting despite that fear. And that's like a muscle, he suggests. It's built through those daily disciplines, those small acts of pushing through discomfort.
And that courage allows you to take the necessary risks to challenge the status quo, which you need for any kind of progress, personal or social.
Exactly. You can't make change without it.
You know, this whole philosophy is wonderfully summed up in some of McRaven's own words. There are lines in this book that really stick with you.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite, maybe because it captures that immediate power of small steps, is, if you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day.
And it will encourage you to do another task and another and another. Yeah, it's all about just chaining those small wins together.
Creates that momentum we talked about.
And for those moments when life just feels completely, utterly unfair, there's sometimes no matter how hard you try, you still end up as a sugar cookie.
It's just the way life is sometimes. That acceptance of arbitrary hardship, not fighting it pointlessly, is so key.
Yeah. And for anyone maybe feeling stuck or stagnant, he offers this motivation. Without pushing your limits, without occasionally sliding down the rope headfirst, you will never know what is truly possible in your life.
Yeah.
You have to embrace that calculated risk, that uncertainty, to find out what your real ceiling is.
Love that. And of course, the most succinct command of all, the one that kind of encapsulates the entire spirit of the book.
Don't ever, ever ring the bell. Simple as that. Powerful.
So powerful. Okay, so how do we translate this SEAL training rigor, these intense lessons, into the, well, the non-military world? Let's talk about some concrete applications for you listening. Right. Let's make it practical. Professionally, think about managers. They should internalize that circus principle.
Okay.
If a team fails, say, on a major project deliverable, don't just punish them with blame or, worse, firings or humiliation.
Right, the usual response sometimes.
Instead, reframe that failure as additional focused remedial training, a specialized circus for that specific failure. Assign them to analyze exactly what went wrong, figure out the flaws, and then rebuild it immediately.
So that focused, intense work on the failure itself builds the resilience.
Yeah.
And the problem-solving muscle for next time.
Exactly. It turns failure into a strength-building exercise, not just a negative outcome.
Okay, that makes sense. And personally?
Personally, you can apply that shark metaphor. Think about confronting toxic environments, maybe workplace harassment, or even just difficult personal situations.
How does the shark metaphor help there?
When you're faced with that difficult situation or person, the shark, prepare yourself mentally. Summon your courage, know your position, and hold your ground.
Don't retreat.
Don't retreat. Because if you do, you just reinforce the bully's power or the negativity's hold. You have to be prepared to, metaphorically, punch the shark by maintaining your integrity and your position.
Wow. Okay. What about educationally? For students.
Students can definitely use the daily discipline principles. Establish consistent study routines no matter how small or mundane the assignment feels.
Like making the bed, but for studying.
Kind of, yeah. Start small. Start with a standard of excellence, even on minor tasks. If you maintain high standards on the little things, you build the character and focus you need to persevere through the really challenging academic periods like final exams or big theses.
It builds the don't ring the bell muscle for academics.
Exactly.
So reflecting on all this, what stands out most to you? What was maybe most surprising after digging into this?
You know, what really surprised me, or maybe crystallized for me, was the profound connection he draws between that very personal individual discipline and broader social change.
Hmm. Say more about that.
McRaven basically shows that you can't effectively change the world, or even your small corner of it, if you haven't mastered yourself first. That personal excellence, starting with something as simple as the bed, is actually what makes you an agent of positive change.
Because you carry that standard, that integrity and discipline, into everything else you do, every interaction.
Precisely. It becomes your foundation for impacting others positively.
Yeah, that really resonates. For me, the lasting insight is the paradigm shift the book kind of forces on you.
A paradigm shift. How so?
Well, we often seek these really complicated, abstract self-help strategies, right? The next big secret or complex system.
True. Always looking for the magic bullet.
Yeah. And McLavin just brings it right back down to earth. He reminds us to stop overthinking and instead just embrace the transformative power of simple, consistent action. But action performed with excellence and integrity.
So the path to change, big or small, always begins with the disciplined self, making that small but perfect start.
Exactly. Master the small things first, the big things follow.
Powerful stuff.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.